Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the resurrected and Holy One. Amen. So much took place on that first Easter Sunday that it spills over into this Sunday as well. It's found in our gospel text from John chapter 20. The actual day of Easter, we have plenty to hear about with just Jesus' resurrection in that morning hour. But the work of our Lord and Savior was far from complete on that first day, though it wasn't really work at all, but merely the joy of celebration. Jesus had returned to life after having truly died, blood coursing back through his arteries and veins, air entering and exiting his lively lungs once more. And still there in the darkness of the tomb on that first Easter day, Jesus proceeded to leave of his own free will and power. And when the angel descended from heaven to roll back that stone, moving away indeed the obstruction to the tomb, Jesus was already gone. He remained nearby, as indeed the women would come to visit that tomb, and he made his first appearance then to Mary Magdalene, who of course thought Jesus was the gardener. He also made himself known to all the women as they were sent by the angel to go and share the good news with the disciples regarding the empty tomb. Later in that day, according to Luke's gospel, Jesus spent several hours walking with two other followers on the road out of Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were asking him questions left and right about the faith, about all the things that had happened, about the scriptures of the Old Testament. And Jesus spent that time teaching them all about himself. But still they did not know that it was Jesus. And so these followers invited Jesus to come in with them for the evening meal, having reached the village. Jesus then took the bread, and he broke it, and he prayed a blessing over the food. At that very moment, their eyes were open. Jesus caused those followers to recognize himself as the Christ. And then, of course, instantly, he vanishes from their sight. Stunned by that whole entire experience, the two followers race back to Jerusalem to encounter again the other disciples of Jesus and let them know of their great Jesus sighting. And while they're sharing these words with those beloved disciples, Jesus arrived. He came and he stood right there with them. And the doors had been locked. They were afraid for their lives, fearing that what had happened to Jesus would happen to them. And no, Jesus did not sneak in through some window, nor was he secretly there ahead of time to make a grand appearance at the right time. But freely, using his full and divine power, Jesus simply arrived out of nowhere and stood among them as he desired. And Jesus' first words to his disciples, "Peace be with you." He showed them then his hands and his feet. His hands and his feet, there with the marks of the nails still present, were the true sign that they now had peace with God, and God with them, despite all their sin. And truly, these are the marks of peace with God, with all the world. Even though those men had abandoned Jesus to leave him alone to die upon the cross, their sin was forgiven by that very death of Jesus. The marks in Christ's hands and his feet are the sure means of God's peace with you. No matter your sin, nor mine, how severe they may be or mundane, they are all atoned for. And these disciples were now eyewitnesses, sworn men who could testify to the resurrected Jesus. They saw him walking and talking and living before them just like he had done before. No matter how unbelievable this may be, nor their words that they would go and share, they must proclaim the truth. For they have seen the risen Christ, and so they must confess this holy word. One of their number was not present with them that first Easter Sunday. Thomas, of course, was missing, and no explanation is given to his whereabouts. But he did have contact with the 12 at some point in the next few days. "Thomas, we have seen the Lord," they announced to him. "Are you sure you saw what you saw? He is alive. He came to us. He made himself known to us. We got to put our hands and our fingers into the nail marks in his hands and his feet. Truly remarkable, Thomas. Unless I see the marks in his hands, place my finger into the mark of the nails, place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Now, Jesus had told his disciples through the women that he would see them in Galilee. And perhaps this is why Thomas was absent that first Sunday. He may have been waiting for the announcement of the disciples that they were heading to Galilee, and there, of course, they would see Jesus. But now Jesus had made his own special appearance, and Thomas missed it. But an octave of days later, still on a Sunday evening, the disciples reconvened their visits and their meetings. And they had convinced Thomas that time to be with them. And so there they were, same room, same evening of the week, same locked doors. But they knew not what would happen next. But still Jesus came and stood among them once again, even though those doors were secured. And once again he informed those same disciples of peace that they now had with God, with him, from the very crucifixion wounds in his body. And this time, Jesus, with all of his knowledge intact, targets the formerly missing disciple. "Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and put it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." The other disciples had already had their cold, hard proof of Jesus' resurrection. Now, so did Thomas. And no doubt, with tears of joy in his eyes, he answered Jesus, "My Lord and my God." From unbelief to belief, just like that. Such is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the disciples of Jesus were all given the proof that they needed as the eyewitnesses, the testifiers of the resurrection, so that they could go out then and boldly proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified, not through hearsay, not secondhand information, but as those who had seen him with their own eyes. And on at least 5 different occasions, Peter is seen proclaiming the very gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Acts, chapters 2, 3, 4, 5, and 10. Peter was certainly the most prominent of those called 12 disciples of Jesus, but you can be sure that those other disciples were doing the same, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and of him crucified. Whatever fear, intimidation those men had felt had caused them to hide themselves away, locked in the upper room, it was held at bay by the power of the Holy Spirit given to them at Pentecost. For that was truly such an amazing time in which to live. 40 days, over a month's time, they were able to see the Lord Jesus in his resurrected glory as he was present with them. And he continued to instruct them and to train them for what was still to come, their time, as the leaders of his holy Christian church. And while those men and the women who were with them were blessed to witness the resurrected Lord Jesus before his glorious ascension, their number was rather small in comparison with all people of all time. Billions lived before the time of Christ, and billions have lived since. What about all of them? And what about all of us? Well, Jesus made sure that his chosen apostles were properly equipped to proclaim the true gospel and to defend the Christian faith. They could state the very plain truth that they had seen Jesus crucified, seen him in all of his resurrection glory. And those disciples were blessed with such sight. And Jesus makes note of this as he is fully aware of the matter. To the believing Thomas, he said, "Have you believed because you have seen me?" And those words truly apply to the rest of his apostles there as well. And it is truly a good thing that Thomas and those other men had seen the resurrected Jesus and believed because they had seen. Such faith is eternal life and salvation. But then the great Easter beatitude. Now, Jesus had begun his preaching ministry in Matthew's gospel with the Beatitudes proclaimed at the beginning of his great Sermon on the Mount. Those who are sinners, those who receive that proclamation, who receive Jesus in humility and confession of their sins, will be blessed forever, Jesus proclaimed. They will live forever. They have salvation forever. That's the heart and soul of the Beatitudes. And those salvation beatitudes belong to all those who have not seen Jesus yet, but still believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Adam and Eve never saw what the disciples of Jesus saw. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob never saw. Moses, David, Elijah, Isaiah never saw. They certainly heard the word of promise that was fulfilled, and they believed. And you and I have yet to see what the disciples saw. You too have heard that same word that has been fulfilled, and you have believed. All of these believers have the same object of their saving faith, the one Lord Jesus Christ. All share past, present, future, the same belief in the one Jesus. Blessed are they, and blessed are you who have said with Thomas about the Lord Jesus, "My Lord and my God." And blessed are they, and blessed are you who have not seen and yet have believed that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Now the peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.